Okay, you know, there was a rebellion and Absalom and the whole thing, and he gets stuck in the tree. I think it was an oak tree by his hair, and the donkey kept going, and so he's hanging from a tree by his hair. And one of the guys, one of Joab's soldiers, said, "Yeah, we ran into him. He's hanging in a tree." And Joab's like, "Why didn't you kill him?" "Yeah, because we heard what the king said." And so Joab said, "I got no time for you." And he went and him and his boys finished him off. And so then it's about, David was weeping, of course. You know, you lose a son, even a rebellious son. Maybe in some ways that's harder. And, he finally, comes out and makes nice with all the people, and it's all good. And then, they say, "Hey, let's bring the king back. What are we waiting for?" That's a picture in my mind of repentance. You know, when the right king's not on the right throne of your heart, and some other king has usurped his place, we need to repent, and we need to repent like yesterday. The sooner we get back to having the right king reigning in our heart, the better off we are. And I think this is a picture of that. And you remember, the cast of characters, Sheba comes, he had cussed him, and, "Oh, your servant, he was having a bad hair day. Don't take it to heart." You remember all that? And Abishai says, let's kill him. And David says, ease up. I know I'm the king. Don't you worry about it. Mephibosheth came. And David was like, "Hey, dude, why didn't you come with?" He's like, "Hey, I'm lame, and my servant tricked me." And he's like, "Look, let's not talk about it anymore. Divide up everything." And he says, "Look, he can have it all. I don't care. It's never been important to me. He can have it all." I'm in verse 30. Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house." Then we run into Barzillai. I like him. That old codger. He's 80. He's from Rogalim. I was wondering if that's where they invented Rogaine, but I don't know that. You have to look it up yourself. And they're all conducting the king back to Jerusalem. And come on with Barzillai. We'll have a good time together. And listen, no, I want to go with my own people and die and be put in my own grave. That kingdom stuff, that city dwelling, that's for the kids. Take Chimham. So he takes Chimham. Might have been his son, might have been his grandson, just might have been a friend. Most people think it's his son. And Chimham goes with him. That's what verse 40 says. And now, verse 41, we turn a corner here, and I'll just read it. "Behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away, and have brought the king and his household over all David's men with him over Jordan?" Now, they have a point. Judah was kind of late to the game. The whole land, the whole country was clamoring, "Come on back, David. We're willing to have you as our king again." And Judah was kind of the last ones, and even so much that David said, "Hey, what's with you guys? Aren't we of the same tribe? Aren't I bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh? Why are you the last ones to welcome me back?" So all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, "Because the king is near of kin to us. Wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's cost, or hath he given us any gift?" My thinking is like, okay, we're bringing the king back, right? The more the merrier. What you want a prominence, and you want to be out front of the parade? Have at it, whatever. Some people just have to be like that. Even a glorious good day, I got to find something to fight about, something to fuss about. "Men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, We have 10 parts in the king, and we also we have also more right in David than ye." Now we're just going to slice and dice them and pass them around all the different... What is this? "Why then did ye despise us that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel." So they're having a big battle over this. What, let's get to the bottom of this. What are you fighting over? You want the king back, we want the king back. Let's do it. But why have you left us out? Like, I didn't mean to. Come on, dude. Let's, come on in. Water's fine. Sometimes there's people in my life, sometimes there are people who are contentious. They're just, don't put the gloves on. Don't enter the ring. Just, what's your problem? Yeah, you're right. Come on. I'm sorry. Let's do this, whatever, you know what I mean? Don't. Now, that's not about doctrine or anything. It's not about just someone acting like an idiot. Let them. Be bigger than that. Something's more important than, you know, having your rights and don't speak to me like that. I don't know who you think you're. And then it just escalates, you see? Look at what happens here. And they happen to be there. A man of Belial. Now, chapter 20 is just written. It's all the same time. Just go start a new chapter. It's all the same flow of what's happened. There happened to be a man there, a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. He blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David." Really, dude? We're bringing him back, and now you're going to pull this stuff? What is going on? "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." He is, certainly was the son of Belial. Belial is an alternate of Baal, so he's calling him a son of the devil. But he doesn't mean that the devil and his mom got married and loved each other very much, and in the course of time they had a little doubt. No, like we would call someone a son of the devil or a son of something else, and we're meaning it as a pejorative term. It means a useless person or a worthless person. And sometimes you'll see in a King James, like a Scofield Bible, have a worthless fellow, it would say, or something like that. So he is a son of Belial. His name's Sheba. He's a son of Bichri. He's a Benjamite. Boy, you remember Benjamin from the book of Judges? And this is very much like the book of Judges, the end of Samuel. Remember after the story, the last judge, and it's Samson, and then they have these chapters that dealt with Micah, and the tribe of Dan, and you remember all that? And then they had a little bit of a civil war with all the tribes against Benjamin because of that nefarious goings on of the guy and the Levite and his concubine, and it's really unsavory stuff to talk about. But he had those tucked in there, you know, every man doing right in his own eyes. Well, in the end of Samuel, it's kind of the same thing. We got a couple of stories that aren't necessarily in chronological order, but this is. "So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem." Well, that's good. So Benjamin's in rebellion again. They take the rest of the tribes with them. Really? You're repenting and you want to be rebellious in your repentance? That's what we're faced with. I don't see it. I don't understand. I have determined when I'm wrong, just to own it. Go back to the very gracious King, and I'll show you how gracious here in a minute. And just, Lord, what can I say? I was wrong. Please forgive me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why wouldn't you do that? Why would you add rebellion to your rebellion? You know, you're making good, you're coming back, the king's coming back to Jerusalem, the rightful king on the rightful throne that God had established, and now the whole thing's going sideways because some worthless fellow. Why don't you talk for you? I ain't following after you. What are you, some sort of nitwit? We got David coming back. We were rebellious, and he's graciously still going to be our king. He could say, forget it, I don't need this. I don't need this. David came to his house at Jerusalem. The king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not in unto them. Why? Because they had been with Absalom, and it's unseemly. But he took care of them, okay? He shouldn't have 10 concubines to begin with. We all know that. We've discussed that at length. I like the fact this fact, that the Bible is forthright in showing the people, even the people of God, for who they really are, warts and all. So they were shut up unto the day of their death, living in widowhood. So they were taken care of, but he wasn't intimate with them. Then said the king to Amasa, "Assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present." Who is Amasa? I'm giving out bonus points if you come up with Amasa. Amasa was the general of Absalom's army. He's Joab's cousin, Joab and Abishai's cousin. So he's related to David. So why is David saying, okay, this is called treason. In America still, it's still a statute. I don't know the last person get hung for treason. But that's the way it's supposed to work, but I'm not saying it does. But if you do something against the United States government, like try to overthrow it, yeah, they can still string you up. I mean, it's still a statute. Like I said, it didn't happen a whole lot of times. But why didn't he say, hey, you led a rebellion against me. Your name is Mud. No, he says, okay, you're going to be the new general in place of Joab. Why? Because he's gracious. Listen, he's a man after God's own heart. Here he's taking the place of the Lord in the sense of, have you led a rebellion against God? Yeah, and it wasn't a whole army. It was just one soldier in the army. But would I have rebelled against God? Oh, yeah. Sure I have. Now he's done with me. That's it. Treason. And I'm toast, right? No, it's not how it works. I say this often, you must get tired of hearing me say it. He's more willing to forgive us than we are to be forgiven. He wants to make it right. He wants to make us right. He's got an agenda every day of our life. I'm going to make you more and more like my son, Jesus Christ. I can go kicking and screaming and dragging my feet the whole way. And he says, I'm still going to do it. I think we ought to cooperate. Don't get me wrong. He's got he's agenda driven. And he won't depart from that agenda. Adam, where's that? Romans chapter 8, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to become unto the likeness of the image of his son. Unqualified. But let's keep moving. So he took Amasa and he said, yeah, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which he had appointed him. That's not a good start. Hey, general, this is what I want you to do. And so he's dragging his feet. Tarried, that's the word, right? And David said to Abishai, now Abishai didn't kill Absalom, and Abishai is still okay with David. He's still one of them sons of Zeruiah. Oh, thou sons of Zeruiah, what have I to do with thee? You're way too harsh. You know, but he didn't fire Abishai. Abishai is still here. And David said to Abishai, now shall Sheba, the son of Bichri, do us more harm than did Absalom. Take thou thy Lord's servants and pursue after him, lest he get him fenced cities and escape us. And there went out after him Joab's men and the Cherethites and the Pelethites. Read here like Green Beret, Rangers, Delta Force. These are the tough hombres. They've got like a lot of time in the field and they've got a lot of scalps on there. However they count back in the day, the Cherethites and the Pelethites are the kind of special services. They got the regular army and they got these guys. And all the mighty men, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins in the sheath thereof, and he went forth, it fell out. Picture this. So he's got Joab's battle dress on, his armor, his uniform, if you will. He's got his sword, and it's tucked up where it's supposed to be in the sheath, and it falls out onto the ground. Amasa is not, he's not wowing us, okay? He's kind of, you know, neither here nor there. So he loses the sword. I think Joab found it, but he didn't have to have found it to kill him, and he does kill him. And Joab said to Amasa, so Joab's there, even though he's been fired. You can't get rid of Joab. He gets fired and he's still there. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. Very typical, nothing wrong there. And Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. Don't watch Joab with both eyes. He did the same thing to Abner, if you remember. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shut out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai's brother pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. So he's back in the head of the army. One of Joab's men stood by him and said, he that favoreth Joab and he that is for David, let him go after Joab. There's a band of brothers kind of thing going on here, vibe. You got to sense that because they had fought in, you know, especially these type of battles. There's something else, you know, sharing a foxhole with somebody, having mortars, you know, getting lobbed in on. That's one thing. But, I mean, you know, this is hand-to-hand combat. When you're killing somebody, you're looking them right in the face. You know, it's pretty up close and personal. Amasa wallowed in his blood in the midst of the highway, and when the men saw that, all the people stood still. He removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still. Gaper delay, right? And when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. So Joab is not a good guy. We've seen times when he was. You know, these people like that we know, very complicated. This guy, he's a worthless, no good. And then he does something really, and you think, what a sweet guy, you know. And then he does something, and then you think, yeah, my first thoughts are. But people are more complicated. They're more three-dimensional. We see Joab, he seems to have a heart for the Lord. He definitely has a heart for David, but he's got a heart for Joab, I think, more than anybody else. He went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel and to Beth-Maacah and all the Beerites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth-Maacah, and they cast up a bank against the city, stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Uh-oh. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear, hear, say, I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear the words of thine handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. So she's a wise woman, and she is wise too. She knows how to diffuse the situation, and she knows how to speak to Joab. Then she spake, saying, there were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. It was a place where people came to ask questions, and the decisions were given, and that was it. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? Hey, dude, what have I done? Hello? You going to kill me with everybody else? It's a compelling question. And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. Just ask my cousin Amasa. He'll tell you. Oh, yeah, he's not here anymore. All right. Well, anyway, I'd never do like that, you know. Again, these characters are kind of complex, aren't they? The matter is not so. He's got a sense of proportion that, yeah, I wouldn't do that. And I don't think he would. like, you know, kill a woman, a mother in Israel. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said to Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. I like her. I think Joab does too. Joab's saying, hey, can I get your phone number? I'm just saying, okay? I think he's thinking, this is my kind of lady right here. Then the woman went unto the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city. Every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. What day that was? This object comes flying up over the wall. Sorry, my mind goes there. Somebody picks it up, by the hair, no doubt. Brains dripping out. I don't know, right? Is this him? You know, kind of holding it up. Yeah, I don't know. He's shorter than I remember him, but yeah, I think it's him. And so, you know, now we got it. We won, okay. And you know, a serpent may be 100 feet long, but to kill it, you only have to cut the head off. So this is the end of the rebellion. And I think anyone else who says, gee, I think I'd like to rebel against David, I think they're thinking, yeah, I don't think it's going to go very well. So it is the end of the rebellion. Then the woman went all the people in her wisdom. Oh, they cut off the head. And, yeah, you tied. Okay. Now, verse 23. Now, Joab was over. This is, you remember early in the book, I think it was in the 1 Samuel in the 7th, 8th, 9th chapter, somewhere in there. It gave it like this, who was in charge of what. And this is the government I want. One, I want a king. Okay. I don't want a president. The one that we have coming in, I think that's a step up, just personal opinion, okay? I don't want Congress, I don't want Senate, I don't want a judiciary, I want a king. And his cabinet can be just as small, it would be fine with me, okay? There is a kingdom coming soon to this world, and he's not going to run for office. And you can't unelect him, you can't vote him out, you can't impeach him. What a wonderful day that's going to be. But it's going to be a wonderful situation. And so they're just saying, Joab was over all the host of Israel. Can't get rid of the guy, right? Can't fire him. He keeps coming back. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. Now, he's a priest. He's a assassin priest. Another guy I really like. Jehoiada was over the Cherethites and over the Pelethites. Adoram was over the tribute. So he was the head tax guy. I don't think I like him so much. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. So is he the one taking down all this? Some people think that 1 and 2 Samuel were written by Samuel, at least 1 Samuel. But it may have just been a recorder. There might have been several of them. This takes place over decades. Nobody really knows who wrote the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. But Ahilud, maybe he's writing this chapter. And Sheba was scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. Abiathar is going to fall out of favor, I can tell you that, in the next book, 1 Kings. And Ira also, the Jairite, was the chief ruler about David. And there's stuff written about him. Not too many people know exactly what that involves. Okay, chapter 21. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. Okay, you have last year, no, 20, okay, it's 2023, we had a cucumber famine in Newport. I had 18 plants, and I probably got about 18 cucumbers. It rained, and it was cold, and it was nasty, and all the plants died. Now, this year, God was shined his beneficence on my cucumber patch, on my garden, and we had the best cucumber year ever. We were making pickles, we were giving them away, we were taking them here to church. The big joke is you leave your car in my neighborhood unlocked and there's going to be a bag of cucumbers in it. That's all there is to it, right? I was taking in like a bushel basket a day. It was crazy. But year after year after year, because sometimes it's not a weather thing, sometimes it's God withholding. And here it is. And David inquired of the Lord. Like, okay, this ain't natural. What's going on here, Lord? And the Lord answered, It is for Saul, because for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. Who are the Gibeonites? I think it's chapter 9 or 10 in the book of Joshua. I can't remember. You know, the Gibeonites, they come to Joshua, and they got these old clothes on. They got this moldy bread and these wine and wineskins that it's old and, you know, decrepit looking and stuff. And they, okay, wait a second. Who are you guys? Oh, we're from a far country. Far country? Where's that, Rand McNally? We got to have more information than far country, you know. Oh, we're from way far away. And, you know, we heard of the fame of the Lord. And so they pull this ruse. I have a soft spot in my heart for Gibeonites, don't you? Hey, we're all going to die. We're toast. Might as well pull a fast one, see what. And so they make a deal with them. They make a league with them, although they lived in the land. They couldn't do it, but they did it, and they swore by the Lord. And they turned out to be good people, like, you know, okay, you know, you pull the wool over our eyes, but you're going to be hewers of wood, and you're going to be, you know, drawers of water for the temple operation, for the tabernacle operation, I should say. And they were. They're listed among that when Israel goes into captivity in Babylon, Gibeonites are listed with those who came back. No, I don't think they ever caused any problem or anything. Why is Saul killing them? I don't know the answer. But again, they had had a pact, and it was sealed with an oath. And God's honoring that. Yeah, you're not getting any food until you take care of this business. Now, this is kind of grisly. I mean, you think it all the way through. The king called the Gibeonites and said to them, well, the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Maybe because, you know, after they found out that they were Gibeonites and they weren't from far country, you know, the people were all mad at Joshua and said, now we can't have any of their stuff. We can't spoil them. We can't, you know, take their, you know, their sheep and their livestock and their herds. You know, now what'd you do to us? Hey, and by the way, Joshua, stand up guy, this is very commendable. You mess up, own up, fess up. It's what a manly man does. Or a manly woman, I mean, a womanly woman, the woman of God, I should put it that way. That's what we do. We mess up, you own it, okay? And I think that's a good thing, by the way. America loves a repentant sinner. I really think so. But when you try to hide and obfuscate, that's when you get in a lot of trouble. You're right, my bad. I was so wrong. I had a senior moment. I can say that in kind of reality, and people say, oh, yeah, you're getting a little long of tooth there, Grandpa, so they don't give me a big, hard time about it. But don't try to, you know, weasel your way around it. Joshua said, listen, you're right, we're wrong, we swore by the Lord, nothing we can do now. So, I don't know, maybe it's still a question of Saul trying to make it right or undo what Joshua had done. But that was like 400 years before this, so I don't exactly know. Wherefore, David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? Wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? How can we make this right? Some of your people are dead. What would you say? You know what I mean? And the Gibeonites said to him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. We don't have the right to, you know, we're just here for the ride. And what you say, that will I do. How am I going to make, whatever. He gives him a blank check. What you say, that's what I'll do. The answer of the king, the man that consumed us and devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us. Seven men? How many Gibeonites died? But seven is the number of completion. They say, we'll have, give us seven of his descendants, we'll call it good. I don't know. Let seven of his men be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose, and the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, not that Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. Michal is David's first wife, who was barren, by the way, but I think these are stepsons, can I put it that way, or people she was taking care of, but they were descendants of Saul. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest, that's early in the spring. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by night, nor the beasts of the field by day. So, I don't care about, these are my kids, you know, at least two of them, right? And how long did that take? And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, had, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan's son from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, which had stolen them from the streets of Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hanged them, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul, the bones of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan the son buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the sepulchre of Kish his father. And they performed all the king commanded, and after that God was entreated for the land. So the famine goes away. Look, in chapter 9 of Genesis. It's after the flood, and God says, okay, if a man takes a man's life, by man shall his life be taken. Well, we'll just let them all tip over and go to stand before God, and God can sort them out. That's not what God said. Capital punishment is part of God's economy. I don't like it. I don't like it, okay? But I don't have to like it to want to obey it. And we'll say, we'll just put him in jail forever. Well, honey, listen, why are you shaking your head? Without bail, no chance of parole, none at all. No pardon, no presidential, nothing. They just, you kill somebody, that's it. What is your problem? No, the problem is, and she's right, God said no, death. Let it be, listen, don't take somebody's life. Because once you start watering that down, everything else gets watered down after that. Courts that are a revolving door of justice, you know. If you steal anything again, they'll drag you right back here, and I'll wave my finger and say, don't do that again, or they'll have to drag you back here, and I'll have to say, don't do that again. How about somebody being tried for their fourth or fifth rape? That's a death sentence in Israel that I applaud, by the way. We're not talking about consensual nothing that later on somebody felt regretful. We're talking about now rape. That's the scripture tells us. Idolatry. Now that's a hard one in America, where multicultural and everything else, and I'm not sure God, you know, you make, that's definitely in Israel, there's no question about that. But I don't know, a lot of us wouldn't be here because I didn't always worship God. Anyway, let's keep moving. I was going to do a couple chapters here tonight. Did I? Yeah. This is the second one. Okay, we're good. Everyone's good. So he buried the bones and... Okay, verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had war yet again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. Why? Because if this is chronological, he's in the 60s by now. I tell him, there's no fool like an old fool. I'm not the man I was when I was 18 years old. I'm not fooling myself, and I'm not fooling anybody else. I'm not strong. I used to be strong, and I'm strong probably for a 65-year-old, but I'm not 18 anymore. I get it. What are you, David? What are you doing out there? And Ish-bi-nob, that's way too many syllables, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Now you'll see sword is in italics. It's added. Some people think it's new armor, like a piece across the forehead, little slots here so they can't get hit with a stone and tip over like Goliath did. We're not exactly sure what new, but that would be my guess. But he's the son of the giant. He was one of the sons of the giants. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. So Abishai comes to David's rescue. Good. Then the men of David swear at him, saying, "Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, and thou quench not the light of Israel." I get that. You know, you don't want the commander-in-chief out there. He can be back at the Situation Room in the White House, right? You don't want your generals out there and cannon fodder. There's a way to do this right, and that isn't it. He had his day in the sun. Now he's an old man. It came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekiah and the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. Adam, what is the sons of the giant? Was there giants in those days? Apparently, Scripture says so. You could try to make it something else. You could try to make it, well, this guy just had a pituitary problem and he was like super tall. And no, I think it goes back to the goings-on of Genesis chapter 6. And I don't want to belabor the point. People say, and the only argument I've ever had against this was that was even worth talking about. Someone said, well, they all would have been eliminated in the flood. Of course. Lord said unto Noah, this is chapter 7. Chapter 6, came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair and they took them wives of all they chose. Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Now, some people want to make those hundreds of years after the New Testament was written. Some people who were, all rabbis will tell you, no, this is the sons of God, angels. And most Calvary Chapel pastors will tell you, and most people take the Bible seriously. Say, Adam, how are the sons of God breeding with the daughters of men? Well, I don't even exactly know how regular people breed. I think fallopian tubes are involved. Don't ask me, okay? Ninth grade biology was as far as I got, okay? But just because I don't know the answer doesn't mean it's not possible. And by the way, if an unbeliever and a believer, because they're saying, well, this is a godly, the ungodly lines of the godly lines of Seth and the ungodly, and what godly lines, where did that verse come from? What are you talking about? And if a believer and unbeliever have children, they might be a monster, but they're not monstrous, okay? They're not giants. Imagine that in our, you know, because we have people we know, married unbelievers. Imagine, you know, one of them out in the nursery or something like that. A 7-year-old, about 8.5 feet tall. Yeah, that's no good. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. And I always point that out to people. Okay, it happened. And now the children of Israel are in Egypt, multiplying and becoming a nation. And Satan knows where they're going. after the end of 400 years. And he has an opportunity to set up a whole minefield. He did this once. I think it's more than one incursion. I think this may have to do with the end times as well. Jesus said, like the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Saying, you think it's going to happen again? I do. I do. Now, if you have another why people are giant answer, go ahead and share it with me, okay? Came to pass after it was again with the battle of the Philistines at Gob, then Sibbethiah, the son of the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was one of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jareegim. Sounds like good. You know, if you know anyone who's expecting, that's always slide that by him. A Bethlehemite slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Okay, so we got three of these giants named. There was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand six fingers and on every foot six toes. There are still skeletons of giants found with six fingers and six toes. Ask L.A. Marzulli. We talked at great length about this, me and him. In case you didn't get that, 4 and 20 in number, and he also was born to the giant. I understand that there's some people who can be born with six toes and not have any angel DNA, let's just put it that way. But I would never wear sandals if that was the case. I just wouldn't. Personally, right? So 24, that's a common, that goes back to like people who like back in the day, early America, the how, you're showing your hand so that people can readily count your digits. Was there problems in America before Europeans came here? Indians will tell you so. I'm just saying, the mound builders of Ohio, others, again, a la L.A. Marzulli. So this guy, he's got this six fingers on each hand, six toes on each foot, right, 24. He was born of the giant, and when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. So David's the original giant killer. Now all his followers are giant killers too. I got to tell you something, guys. I really got to tell you something. Faith is contagious. It just is. Fear is contagious. You remember when one of the statutes, okay, you're going out to battle and you get somebody who's fearful, let him go. He ain't going to be no help to you. First time you see somebody, freaks out, runs screaming, let me out of here. That ain't going to be a benefit to you. God knows faith is contagious. These are all guys, all David's followers are giant killers now. Faith is contagious, fear is contagious. And by the way, the opposite of love is fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. You say you thought it was hatred. Well, it is in one way. It's indifference in another way. But I think the scriptural opposite of love is fear. Sorry, that just came to me. I thought of it. I thought of it before, but I just thought I'd share. So we get the 24-digit guy. When he defied Israel, Jonathan, the brother of David, slew him, the son of Shimeah. You remember him. These four were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So they've been hanging around a long time. Are they brothers of Goliath or something? You remember? Goliath had four brothers. David picked up five smooth stones, so he's going to get them all at once. I don't know. Are these the remaining guys? I kind of think so. Anyway, there we are. So take what God's singled out for you tonight specifically and take it with you.